getting America back on track. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and Dr. Susan Chomsky is with us. She's an intuition and meditation expert, award-winning author, and founder of Divine Revelation. We're going to be talking about the hidden meanings of lyrics on the Beatles' White Album, which is going to be released this month, and especially in light of Paul McCartney getting over 33 million hits on YouTube for Carpool Karaoke, appearing on 60 Minutes, his first number one album in over 36 years. An upcoming reissue of the 50th anniversary of the White Album on November the 9th. The Beatles seem to be more relevant today than they've been for decades. Susan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us.
I'm thrilled to be here with you today, Bill.
Well, Dr. Chomsky, you've spent 22 years in the ashram, 6 years on the personal staff of the Beatles guru, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, founder of TM, Transcendental Meditation. A rare insider view is what you offer to us, particularly at a time when this album was released. And, we know that the Beatles were going through an interesting transition and transformation there under the Maharishi.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it was a time when they were getting off of psychedelics, at least for the 5 minutes that they got off of it, and that they were with Maharishi studying meditation. They were really serious about exploring higher consciousness and expanding their awareness. And so they did spend some time in Rishikesh, India with Maharishi. And that's where they wrote the White Album.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you mentioned, here it is. They had everything. They had fame. They had wealth. It was almost solemn-esque, I would think, that, the world was their oyster. And now they had gotten to that point where they were starting to maybe rediscover and pursue some spiritual aspects of their humanity.
Yes, that's true. And I think George is the one that really dragged them along into that. In fact, the first person who learned meditation was in February 1967 was Patty Boyd, who was George's wife. And when she told him about how it had changed her life and how amazing it was, he said to her, "Well, I want my own mantra." So then they arranged, George arranged for all the Beatles and their significant others and a few friends to go to the Hilton in London, the Park Hilton, and that is where they met Maharishi on August 24th of 1967. And when they met him backstage afterwards, they said to him, "We've been seeking spiritual awakening, and we've tried to do it through LSD, and that doesn't really work, but we want to learn real meditation." And Maharishi said that it was laudable that the youth of today are trying to achieve higher consciousness, but they're definitely misdirected by trying to do it through drugs.
Exactly. Well, then, who ended up being the best meditator?
That's a funny question, because everybody thinks that George was the best meditator, but in fact, Maharishi said the following. This is a quote from him. He said, "Ringo is always in meditation and goes by feeling and heart. But as for the other Beatles, too much brain is in the way."
Interesting. So Ringo, of all people. Yeah, I would have thought George. I mean, George just seems to be, has a spiritual countenance about him that would lead us all to believe. That would have been my first guess as well.
Maharishi did say, here's another quote from him. He said, "Of all the Beatles, George is the most advanced, and this is his last life."
Well, interesting. Well, and speaking of which, he also had some predictions about the Beatles in total, and particularly about John Lennon. What was that?
Okay, so for John, he said John has many more lives, in other words, many more to go, and must not give in to his weakness for women, or it will ruin him.
John had a very unique relationship with Yoko Ono. and it was hard for a lot of people to see this. But no doubt, you know, I guess, people often talk about soulmates. There was something special between those two, was there not?
Well, there was definitely a very strong karmic connection, and he was very devoted to her. Yes, that is very true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were there, you say, in 1971 when they were arrested in Spain. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. So they ended up in Mallorca, Spain, and they showed up at the Samoa Hotel where Maharishi was staying, and he was conducting a course there for people to become teachers of transcendental meditation. And I was there as well. And on April 23rd, 1971, John and Yoko suddenly appeared at the desk, and they said they wanted to collect Yoko's 7-year-old daughter, Kyoko Chan Cox. Anthony Cox and his wife, Melinda, they were meditating on the course. And at the time, Anthony Cox, or Tony Cox, had custody of Kyoko, but there was a battle that was raging over visitation rights with the child. And even though John and Yoko were wearing really dumb disguises, everybody recognized them immediately, including the hotel manager, whom we all dubbed as Senior Bullfrog, because he was constantly saying, hola, hola, dígame, dígame, at peak pitch whenever he answered the phone. But needless to say, everyone recognized them, and somebody directed them towards the child care because they kidnapped Kyoko from daycare at 1 p.m., and then Tony Cox reported the abduction to the police, and at 5 o'clock, John and Yoko were arrested, and by 8 o'clock, Kyoko was returned to her father, and John and Yoko received a conditional discharge, and they flew to Paris.
And therein is part of the lyric of their song, right?
Which song was that?
That was the one
together. The one about. Okay, maybe that was related to that song. I know which one you're talking about. But
I'm sitting there. I'm hearing part of the lyric, and I'm trying. I cannot. It was the ballad of John and Yoko was the official title.
Yeah, the ballad of John and Yoko. That's the one.
Right.
It's a good song.
So it was a good song. But you know, there's a lot of background, and there's a lot of background to so many of these songs. While they were in India, there with the Maharishi. They ended up leaving, and there was, you know, rumors and suggestion. I mean, George Harrison apologized. This was in 1991 to the Maharishi. So what broke them up? What caused them to leave India?
Well, there were three reasons that they left India, and it will take me much too long to explain those reasons in detail. One had to do with a film deal gone south. Another one had to do with a pass that Maharishi made towards one of the course participants that was there. And the third reason is the one that you mentioned in 1991, where John apologized to Maharishi when he and Deepak Chopra visited Maharishi in Holland. And and when he came to apologize to Maharishi, and Maharishi said, for what? And then George said, well, you know why. And Maharishi said, well, explain it to Deepak. And then he did explain it. And what had happened was, apparently, that some people in the Beatles party, when they were in Rishikesh, India, they were taking LSD and, they were taking drugs. I don't know which drugs. Mm. And alcohol. And that was definitely not allowed on the grounds of the ashram. And so Maharishi got angry at them, and he asked them to leave.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to go to a quick break. Stay with us, if you will. Susan Chomsky is with us. We're talking, about the Beatles in light of the release of the White Album, the re-release of it. Stay with us. We've got more after this.